dollar sinks again and gold zooms upward. Blumenthal and Kahn defend Carter's anti-inflation program. Israeli cabinet again ponders Washington talks. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. Down again goes the dollar and up again goes gold. The dollar fell to still another low today in Tokyo, closing at around 178.5 yen. The European markets opened after the day's trading ended in Tokyo, and the dollar's decline continued. It opened at a new low in Frankfurt, 1.74 marks, and then it sank even further. In Paris, the dollar tumbled through the 4-franc level for the first time in 3 years. It's now being quoted at around 3.98. It's down also on the other European markets. The price of gold, though, has again soared to new highs. It's up almost $7 an ounce in both London and Zurich. These developments are all viewed in many quarters as a persistently negative reaction to President Carter's anti-inflation program. That program was warmly defended yesterday by the program's newly appointed director, Alfred Kahn, and by Treasury Secretary Michael Blumenthal. George Herman has details.
Blumenthal said on CBS's Face the Nation he's convinced that Wall Street and the foreign money markets will come around after they've studied the president's program more carefully. Blumenthal is known to believe the turnaround for the dollar will come soon and that it'll be starting back up again before the end of 1978. On ABC's Issues and Answers, the president's newest inflation fighter, Alfred Kahn, gave the nation a glimpse of the iron hand beneath the velvet glove of voluntary guidelines. Kahn said that if the Teamsters Union in the first really big union negotiations of 1979 should seek wage increases bigger than the president's guidelines, the administration might go before the Interstate Commerce Commission, which regulates truck rates, and ask that truckers be refused permission to pass along the increased expense to their customers, the public. On other subjects, both men agreed that fuel prices should go up to strengthen the dollar. Both agreed that other goals, like protecting the environment, must take precedence over some guidelines. And both agreed they're going to study whether to suggest that Congress delay the Social Security tax increases scheduled to start next year. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
The Supreme Court hears arguments today on the question of whether strikers should get unemployment benefits. We'll hear about that from Fred Graham.
It's a question that has raised emotional hackles in labor circles for a number of years. Whether workers who go out on strike should be permitted to draw unemployment compensation benefits to help tide them over during the strike. Some state laws forbid jobless payments to strikers, but others permit it, including New York, where union workers staged an 8-week-long strike against the New York Telephone Company in 1972, while the idle telephone workers drew $48 million in unemployment benefits, benefits that under the law had to be paid by the employer. The telephone company sued, and today the Supreme Court will hear arguments as to whether it is illegal for states to make companies subsidize their employees during strikes through unemployment benefits. The company says this frustrates federal labor laws that seek to settle strikes between the parties, and the unions say that if Congress intended to outlaw such payments to strikers, it would have passed a law specifically saying so. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Talks are still in progress in New York between the striking Pressman's Union and the New York Times and the New York Daily News. That strike is now 82 days old. Mediator Theodore Keel says attorneys representing the newspapers and the union are working on specific contract language. He says the dispute is 70% settled. But disputes with other unions must also be settled before the Times and the Daily News can resume publication. Flight attendants for Pan American World Airways are engaged in a wildcat job action, a sick-out, to protest the lack of a new contract. The old one expired a year ago. Pan American obtained a temporary court restraining order Saturday night against the action, but about half of its 3,800 stewards and stewardesses are calling in sick.
When you want to get a telephone, a plain one, or a fancy phone, be choosy. Get genuine Bell.
Now it's easier than ever to choose just the phone that suits your taste. Head for the nearest C&P Phone Center store. There's one near you now or coming soon. So you can feast your eyes on a wide selection of genuine Bell phones, from graceful antique styles to the most modern styles. And you can take your favorite home with you on the spot, right from the Phone Center store.
To get your choice of lots of phones, to use at work or right at home, be choosy. Get genuine. genuine bell. Be choosy, get genuine bell. Come on, be choosy, get genuine bell. Be choosy, get genuine bell.
The Israeli cabinet went into session again today to examine the status of the Washington peace treaty talks with Egypt. Dan Raviv reports from Jerusalem.
The cabinet met behind closed doors, but one minister told CBS News that there was no talk of major progress or major breakdowns in the Washington talks. Prime Minister Begin passed along the latest reports he'd gotten from the Israeli negotiators, Foreign Minister Dayan and Defense Minister Weizmann. The cabinet source said Begin did not mention any new American ideas, concentrating instead on a stand taken by Egypt's Washington delegation. According to the source, Egypt has not modified its demand that the peace treaty with Israel be explicitly linked to progress on the West Bank and Gaza. And he added the cabinet agreed that Israel should continue to refuse any but the most general linkage. Two subcommittees were set up today, one on oil in the Sinai, the other on future economic relations between Israel and Egypt. According to the source, no treaty will be completed until those two issues are settled. Cabinet Secretary Arya Naor was asked if the Washington talks are at some kind of a standstill. As far as he understands, said Naor, the talks continue and there is no crisis. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Israeli radio says that Foreign Minister Dayan has met informally in Washington with Egypt's two chief negotiators at their request. No details have been made public about that. Japan today is talking about an improvement in relations between this country and Vietnam. Bruce Dunning has the story in Tokyo.
Japan wants the United States to establish normal diplomatic relations with Vietnam to counter Soviet influence in that country, and Japan is prepared to play an active role in bringing the one-time enemies together. Government sources are being quoted as saying there will be discussions in depth on U.S.-Vietnam relations when Vietnamese Foreign Minister Nguyen Duy Trinh makes an official visit to Japan in December. In July, when Vice Foreign Minister Phan Hien visited Japan, he told Japanese officials that Hanoi would not insist on U.S. rehabilitation aid as a precondition for normalizing relations. The Japanese Foreign Minister passed this on to U.S. Ambassador Mike Mansfield. According to government sources, the Carter administration endorses Japan's intermediary role and is described as keenly interested in the Vietnamese Foreign Minister's visit here. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Uganda today is again beating the drums against Tanzania. The state-run radio is still broadcasting reports of a battle between Idi Amin's troops and Tanzanian soldiers inside Uganda, Tanzania's persistent denials notwithstanding. Randy Daniels in Nairobi has the latest.
Western diplomats in Dar es Salaam and Nairobi all discount the reports of a Tanzanian invasion, but Uganda radio persists. President Amin is now threatening to invade Tanzania and bomb key cities there if Tanzanian troops do not withdraw. But there is no evidence that Tanzanian troops ever attacked Uganda in the first place. The whole story is being treated as a hoax by some and as a distraction by others who believe that Amin is experiencing internal problems within his army and is using the invasion claim to divert attention. The Nairobi Daily Nation newspaper carried a report this morning that troops loyal to Ugandan Vice President General Mustafa Adrizi have mutinied against Amin because of his inability to provide them with money and luxury items that have always kept them in line. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Nairobi.
A committee of the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization at UNESCO's annual conference in Paris has resumed work on a draft declaration concerning the news media. Western countries view the draft as a threat to freedom of the press, and Finland has asked that it be rewritten. But this morning, Soviet Deputy Foreign Minister Igor Zemakov called for passage of the declaration in its present form. Zemakov asserted that freedom of the press in the West means the spreading of information about violence, propaganda for the arms race, plus racism and pornography. A federal judge in Newark, New Jersey, imposes sentence today on two Soviet nationals convicted earlier this month on spy charges. Steve Young tells us about the case.
The two Soviet citizens, Rudolf Chernyayev and Valdek Anger, were arrested last May by the FBI in New Jersey. A federal jury found them guilty of conspiring to steal secret U.S. Navy documents concerning underwater submarine detection. After their conviction, Chernyayev and Enger were discharged by the United Nations Secretariat where they were employed. They face a maximum sentence today of life in prison. There was speculation surrounding the trial that the two might be swapped for political dissidents now imprisoned in the Soviet Union. But that now appears unlikely, at least in the immediate future. In the past, swaps have usually occurred before accused Russian spies went to trial. Soviet representatives are known to have been seeking agreement from U.S. District Judge Frederick Lacy for the Russians to remain free in the technical custody of Soviet Ambassador Anatoly Dobrynin, pending appeal. Judge Lacy has sharply pointed out in court that, in his opinion, the Russians committed a heinous crime, but twice before he has allowed the Russians to remain out of jail. Steve Young, CBS News, New York.
Hurricane Kendra today is moving slowly north in the Atlantic. Weather forecasters in Miami say it poses no immediate threat to the mainland.
Isn't it time you got into a new sport, a new sport Chevrolet? Haven't you waited long enough? Drive one home today. Once you get into a sport Chevrolet, you'll be a sport fan too.
And drive your new sport Chevrolet every day, knowing your Chevy will be backed by dependable Mr. Goodwrench service from Maryland's first and only dealer to win the Chevrolet Service Supremacy Award. It took 5 years and a lot of hard work, but sports earned recognition no other Chevrolet dealer in Maryland has ever achieved. Mr. Goodwrench service you can rely on every day at Sport Chevrolet, 5 miles north of the Beltway on Route 29.
Once you get into a sport Chevrolet, you'll be a sport fan. You'll be a sport fan. You'll be a sport fan too.
Good morning from WTOP. The time right now is 14 minutes after 8 o'clock, and this is a bright and sunny, although crisp, Monday morning, the 30th of October, 1978. Jamie McIntyre is at the editor's desk. I'm Pat Horton. Now the morning edition of Washington's Daily News continues as we turn to Vivian Goodman.
Good morning. Transportation Secretary Brock Adams is defending the Coast Guard against an attack by two Maryland congressmen. The congressmen are calling for a congressional probe, citing testimony at a Marine Board of Inquiry about a lack of training that may have led to the sinking of the Coast Guard cutter Cuyahoga and the deaths of 11 of its crew. Secretary Adams says the Coast Guard is fundamentally not at fault. Meanwhile, the probe into the tragedy has moved to the site where the ship is to be raised from the bottom of the Chesapeake Bay later today, as Charlene Williams reports.
Members of a Marine Board of Inquiry are expected to be on hand when the Coast Guard attempts to lift the sunken vessel. And if the operation goes off today as planned, they'll inspect the cutter, and then they'll resume their hearings into the sinking later this week. Testimony by some of the young Coast Guard trainees who survived the incident 10 days ago has already prompted a call for a separate congressional probe. U.S. Representatives Barbara Mikulski and Robert Bauman are deeply disturbed by statements that indicated a shocking lack of knowledge by the trainees. And as soon as the Marine investigation is over, they both plan to find out just what caused one of the worst accidents in recent Coast Guard history. The body of the 10th missing crewman from the Cuyahoga was found Saturday, about 500 yards from the site of the wreck. The dead man has been identified as 22-year-old William Carter of Newport News, Virginia. Charlene Williams, WTOP News Radio 15.
WTOP News time just a minute now before the hour of 9 o'clock. The romance of Henry Cantrell and Alicia Draughton in Indianapolis never got to the marriage stage, and Miss Draughton apparently is pretty unhappy about that. Police report that after the couple broke up, she allegedly threw all his clothes in his bathtub and filled it with water. 2 days later, police said Miss Draughton drove over Cantrell with a car. Three times. And he's in the hospital now in satisfactory condition with a number of cuts and bruises and scrapes. And lucky he didn't get more than that. Coming up on News Radio 15, how low can it go? That's the question haunting dollar watchers as the dollar continues to slide overseas. We'll have details on that. The Mideast talks are in Washington and are in limbo. Officials are not sure whether any talks will be held today. The Soviet Union reportedly has given Cuba sophisticated MiG-23 jet fighters. Your writer this morning, Ron Bracken. I'm Pat Corton here on WTOP News Radio 15 in Washington. It's 9 o'clock.
CBS News. The Soviet Union is reported to have equipped the Cuban Air Force with new high-speed jet fighters. Good morning. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Associated Press quotes U.S. intelligence officials as saying 18 or 20 of the MiG-23 fighters arrived in Cuba this month. The jets are nicknamed the Floggers. AP says they're believed to be capable of firing tactical nuclear weapons as well as conventional ones. Intelligence sources are also quoted as saying they're not sure whether Cuban or Russian pilots are flying the new jets. The extent of racial discrimination in the armed forces is the subject of a series of hearings by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. The first session is scheduled today in Savannah, Georgia, near the Fort Stewart Hunter Military Complex. Tyrone Brooks is the National Field Director for the SCLC.
We believe that the public, the taxpayers who finance the operations of our military, should know what's going on. We think that for too many years and for too long, the kind of acts that have occurred on these bases has been covered up. And we believe that the public should be informed. And this is why we're holding the hearings, number one, to inform the public, but also to try to deal with the kind of racism that the blacks on these bases have encountered.
The Commandant of the Marine Corps is talking about a different kind of problem in the military, manpower shortages. General Lewis Wilson thinks it's time to start registering 18-year-olds for the draft again. He says it may not be possible to depend on an all-volunteer military force in the 1980s, when the number of eligible young men will be 15% less than it is today. More news after this.
Don Knotts for Mailgram.
You know, a lot of guys have no imagination when it comes to saying something special, but I have a way to really impress my date. I simply call Western Union and dictate a mailgram message.
Dinner at El Swanko was swell.
The old impact of a telegram at a fraction of the cost really makes them swoon. Next time, I might even pick up the check.
When you'd like to say thanks in a special way, call Western Union and send a mailgram message.
Get the long-lasting collar that kills both ticks and fleas. Put the plus on your pet, the Harz 2-in-1 Plus.
When it comes to dangerous ticks and fleas, don't be fooled by fall weather. Fall is one of the worst flea and tick seasons, so get your dog or cat the long-lasting Harz 2-in-1 Plus collar. All through fall, it keeps working to protect your pet and your family.
Put the plus on your pet, the Harz 2-in-1 Plus.
The price of gold jumped nearly $7 an ounce on the London and Zurich markets today. Investors are buying up gold because the U.S. dollar continues to drop in value against all major foreign currencies. The dollar hit new lows today in Frankfurt and in Tokyo, where Bruce Dunning has been following the action.
The American currency today continued its downward tumble, a decline that had stopped for one day when the U.S. trade deficit was revealed as slightly improved. But as traders here have repeatedly observed, the money market reacts strongly to bad news and scarcely notices good news. The dollar opened lower and continued to fall to a new post-war low of 178.3 yen. The currency recovered marginally later in the day to close at 178.45 yen, but that was well below Friday's closing quotation and marked a new low for a closing figure. The cause for the losses appeared to be Japanese exporters unloading dollars they've already earned out of fear that the dollar's value will go still lower. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Small craft warnings are up along the southeast coast of the United States as Hurricane Kendra swirls in the Atlantic. But a meteorologist at the National Hurricane Center says the storm is a relatively weak one, with winds averaging 80 miles an hour.
The center of Hurricane Kendra was estimated to be approximately 400 miles east of Daytona Beach, Florida. Kendra is moving toward the north at 10 miles an hour. It is expected to maintain this course at a slightly slower forward speed today. On this path, there is no immediate threat of landfall in the United States.
High tides and some beach erosion are expected along parts of the southeast coast. Now this.
When you're traveling across our country, there's a sun. Looks like a big yellow sun. It's the sign of quality. Quality is the most comfortable place under the sun. That's our sign, let it shine. Say where quality comfort shines. Quality is the most comfortable place under the sun.
Isn't it nice to know that in almost 300 different places all across the country, there's a warm welcome waiting for you under the big, bright, sunburst sign of Quality Inns? you'll always find comfortable rooms at very comfortable prices. That's what makes Quality Inns the most comfortable place under the sun. See your travel agent or call us toll-free for reservations.
Quality Inn, the most comfortable place under the sun. Quality Inn.
The president of New York University says the liberal arts are taking a back seat to specialized technical courses in today's colleges. He says it's time for liberal arts to fight back. John Sawhill says the federal government, corporations, and student activists are all pushing for courses that teach marketable skills at the expense of subjects like English and history. To overcome this, Sawhill says colleges must show students that liberal arts tools can help them shape their lives as individuals. I'm Rita Sands, CBS News.